For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hey everybody, before we get started with today's show, I just want to remind you guys that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live games, the conference championships, right through to the Final Four and the championship game. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your bonus. Again, that's BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. That spells Believe. Make sure you guys go ahead to betonline.ag where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, finally got another guest, one of the guys that, you know, was a Bruin longer than me, which is very rare. There's only a few of those. But I mean, this guy is like, you know, you have that like younger sibling, and while they're like younger, it's like you have to like drag them along and they're annoying. But like once they get older, you're like, you're cool with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this guy is. So welcome to the podcast, Shay Pitts.
Man, I couldn't have asked for a better intro, man. Excited to be here. That is all true. I used to bash Josh all the time. I used to kind of annoy him, but you know what? It was like the little brother annoyance. And if Woodsy didn't get me straight, I don't know where I'd be right now. So I appreciate what I thought. I didn't think it was love then, but then you said you'll thank me one day. So here's the day I'm thanking you, Josh. Thank you.
Welcome, man. You're welcome.
Oh, it's good to be here.
So now Shay's all grown up. Shay, how does it feel? Like, I just got done with day two of spring camp. Well, mm-hmm. How's your body feeling? How's, like, what is your routine? Because like Josh said, you've been with the team for so long, and now it's like different this year.
Yeah, that's actually, I've been thinking about that, and I honestly have been going back and forth. You miss being around the guys, mm-hmm. You miss all that, but getting to wake up and work out on my own schedule and not have to be on the college spring ball schedule tackling someone in the middle of April, it honestly felt kind of good. I'm not going to lie. So that does feel good. Obviously, you miss some of the coach. You miss being around ball. But just to be around and then come in, you get to sleep in. You get to wake up at 10, go in there and work out the facility after they're all done. It's honestly kind of nice to not have to be around the hustle bustle around it and kind of be on my own schedule. But yeah, I definitely miss the people, but it's nice being on your own schedule for sure.
That's what I'm saying. You don't miss those early morning meetings
before
practice and then practice where it's only really four of us going through the whole practice and going the whole time
from
Indy to team period to remember when we had to split the it'd be two of us at 7-on-7, two of us at 1-on-1s.
No,
and we were nonstop the whole time.
I have never seen something that was that different. Like, we were just – and it was the pass rush. And, see, our thing about our room, our position room, was they were – we just had no – we had no one in there that was a true linebacker inside. No one was a true outside linebacker. We were all – we called each other – I don't know if it was the Misfits. Like, I went from safety to safety to linebacker. Like, I was kind of bouncing around to corner, then back to linebacker. Woodsy, you were probably a true inside backer. And then Jace, whatever Jace was, we just weren't. None of us were true.
He shined. Outside linebackers. Jason, yeah, so, and it just.
So they just put us all together.
they threw us in there, and then all of a sudden we had a group of these freshmen. We're like, we don't know what we're doing, so I don't know.
They're like, never say the drill. I'm like, coach, I don't even know the drill. Like, and the pass rushing was so creased, like it was the most tiring thing in the world. And then during individuals, and then one day he'd be like, we don't need a linebacker for 7-on-7. We're like, oh, we'll be chilling. And then Coach Kafusi's like, nope, pass rush drills. And there'd be a 4-person circle just running through doing these pass rush drills that just made us so tired.
And
so,
the thing is, I tell people all the time, I was like, that was the hardest I've ever had to practice. Like before the, like with Mora and them, high school, and then like now being a pro, practice is so easy compared to the hell we went through that year, especially because like everything people understand, like, so we had to wear the trackers right for practice.
Oh, and
everything was tracked from like your explosiveness, you know, like your effort pretty much was like all there was a number, there was charts, like there's, you're like, yeah. So for us, it measured not only, because like I said, we had one of the hardest spots because we had to do the burst the same as like a guy like Osa who bursts every play.
Yeah.
And then we had to compare to the DBs of our high speed velocity and our like our, you know, like distance that we traveled. So it's like every practice, like we really couldn't like take it easy. And like our room was kind of like Shay said, we're a group of misfits, and our room was, you know, it wasn't many of us that could do what they're asking to do. So it was like it was like the few, the proud, the misfits. Like we had the coolest coach. Like, shout out Coach Kafusi.
He's the man. I love Coach Kafusi. That was honestly, I don't want to cut you off, but that was the most fun I think I've ever had playing football, was with Coach Kafusi that year. Actually, I will say that was the most fun I've ever had this season playing football in my life. Like, I'm not even kidding. He's a great coach. It was great.
I don't know how to explain it though. Like, it sucked, but it was fun because,
bro, it's like we all love the coach and we loved it, but at the end of the day, we all wanted to be playing another position. So
yes, it was like you have like a, you know, like a great teacher, but you don't like the subject. Like that's what it was. We all hated the position. We hated what we were doing, and it was like we had each other. And
right, 100%.
During the games, like there's pictures of. It's pictures of us huddled up on the sideline because Coach Kafusi was the only coach that was up in the like the position coach that was up in the box. Mm. Everybody else had their coaches on the sideline, right?
Yeah.
So there'd be pictures of us kind of huddled up in a circle. It's like, well, it'd be like five of us. Yeah, it would be me, Keyshawn, Jason, Shay, and Jace. And it would be us five in a little circle just looking at each other like, what did you see? Oh, this happened. Oh, what did you get? This will happen. And we're just like confiding in each other because we don't know what we're doing.
Dude, no, we didn't. I love, bro, that group. I can't, bro. It was all light skins too. It was just all of us.
That's crazy.
That group was so fun. Jace, I love Jace. Love Woodsy, KLS, Jason. But it was just funny because like, I'm like, bro, you got me at 5'11", 205 pass rushing. Like, I guess, like it was like a skip from a movie. Like, I'll do anything. Because I was a walk-on at the time. I'm like, yo, you know what? I will do anything to get on the field and anything to show that I can play for this team. And I was doing anything I could. But, like, they say, set the edge. And I'm like, dude. And I remember it would play me in the most random situations. So, like, they'd be going through it. Like the most random, and I'll be going the like whole game, nothing really, and I'd play like four straight series, and then it'll be like kind of off. But then I remember it was against Utah. They had those big offensive tackles, and they were just straight pounding the ball up the middle, just running the ball, and it was there was not much we could have done, and it was midway through the third quarter, and I hadn't gotten in yet, and I'm like, I think I asked Woodsy or like you or Chris, and I'm like, damn, like I need to get in. I think you all looked at me like, go. Hey, say this ain't your game.
But, who told you that?
They were too big. I said, it's not your game. Just hold out on this one. I'm like, nah, man, I need to do this. Like, no.
It was not
your type of game.
If we really needed Shay, like, physically he wouldn't be there, but it was like, one thing I love about Shay is he's gonna try as hard as he can. He's gonna give you all the effort in the world. It like what he can't do physically, he's gonna make up with it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And
I appreciate that.
Like Shay embodies like what it means to be a Bruin. Like work hard and earn it. Like, and what I said earlier about being like annoying younger brother, it was like, although this room, I kind of was, you know, I was one of the older guys in the team. So I was kind of still was, even though I didn't really know what I was doing, I was still kind of put in charge at times. And believe it, Shay was going to ask me a question every day. Like every time I used to be like, Shay, ask somebody else. Please leave me alone.
I asked Woodsy so many damn questions. And this is the man who, I think I was in the room longer than you. I moved in like probably a week or two before you. Something like that. Then Woodsy came in. I'm asking Woodsy hella questions. Then you're like, I think one day you're like, yo, next year when I'm not here, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to face.
What did you end up doing that next year?
Bro, after that, everything changed. So, going into that year, it was, the four linebackers, it was Woodsy and Ken Les would start. Jason Harris would rotate in, and I'd end up rotating in. I'd probably play 25, 30 snaps a game that year, just whenever they needed a breather, kind of coming off just a fresh breath of air. And the next year, they changed the whole – and then the next year, Woodsy was leaving, Ken Les was leaving, and Jason Harris was leaving. So I'm like, all right, it's gonna be a good spot. I'm in a good position because there's not many linebackers coming back. I think Jace had hit the portal at the time too. So I'm like, damn, I'm the only one in the room coming back. And then so I was kind of excited. I'm like, oh, I got a year under my belt. I can put in a whole offseason, gain some weight. I literally was like 200. I was like, I can get up to 215, 220, and maybe I can do something outside linebacker. And then I'm training. And Kafusi goes up to me one day. He goes like, hey, I love your process. Like, you've been training hard. I'm like, thanks, coach. I appreciate it. He goes, but you're not going to be playing outside linebacker anymore. I'm like, what?
After all I've done for you, he goes,
yeah, like, we changed the whole defense. I'm like, what do you mean you changed the whole defense? Like, we don't really have two outside linebackers anymore. We just have one, and we want you to play the striker position, which is like a nickel. And I'm thinking, that's smooth. Like, that's kind of more of my position. It fits my body type. But then we go to the striker room, and it's like four or five different dudes that everyone that was a misfit in their position, they had put in that room with me. So it was me, Carl Jones, Kenny Churchwell, and Mo Osling, and we were all playing striker. And I'm like, it was cool, but then he's talking about we're only going to use one to two of you. I'm like, oh, dang. Like, I was just in a position where I was the only outside linebacker coming back, and now I'm entering a room where it's four guys, and we could all play. We were all good players, so that was the thing. Like,
that's a really athletic room for sure.
And was this before Q Knight got there? Because he played striker too, didn't he?
Exactly. So then I'm like, all right. So this
and didn't they put Martell in there too?
And then exactly, they put him in there too. So then I'm like, all right. Then Kenny opted out COVID year, and Kenny opted out. Then Mo moved to corner, and Carl moved to Bruin. And I'm like, oh shoot, I'm the last one left.
Then not again. It's opening up.
And then I'm like, yeah, Coach Az messing with me. Like, I'm in a good spot. And then I pull up to the meeting room one day, and it's this dude with braids. I'm like, who is this? He goes, it's Quantrez Devontae. Nice to meet you. I'm like, oh, gosh. And he turned out to be one of my best friends. I love Q-Night to death. But it was just like, dang, I really thought I was going to be the only one. But the good thing about that year is they had this, like, third down package called Dime. So during COVID year, I would play that, and I'd come in every third and, like, management, third and long. And it was a good because I could pass rush around the edge, drop in the zone drop. And it worked out. We was all kind of getting on the field, and it was all smooth. And then Irby came in the next year, and then him and Q9 kind of were taking over that role of the striker position. But, yeah, so long story short, they got rid of the position, even though just when I started to fit in, they got rid of it. Then I started to fit in as striker, then I moved to inside linebacker. So
they're literally moving the goalpost on you, like, every year.
I came in as a corner. I think I covered Jay Lads in practice one day. He slapped me because he was mad about something. Then I moved to safety. Yeah, I love Jay Lads, but that happens sometimes. Then I moved to safety. I was like, all right, like, we had a lot of safeties there. It was like when Pick was there, Jaleel. That didn't really work. Then I moved to outside linebacker. Then I moved to striker. Then I moved this year. I played inside back. So honestly, I might just have to coach. Me and Woodsy might have to coach together and be a team because we've all played so many different positions.
As long as you're not asking me questions every single practice, every single day. No, James, you don't understand. Like the way that Chip had like the days, right? Where it's like meetings on meetings on meetings on meetings, and then practice, and then later on more meetings and meetings.
Right.
And like Shay has questions before meetings, during meetings, in between meetings, like after meetings, we're about to get ready for practice. I'm getting ready in my locker. Shay come over asking questions. Before we go on the field, pre-practice, questions. Bro. During practice, questions. I'm like, bro. I'm trying to figure out the install myself. Notes, man.
Hey, he'd probably answer them like 30% of the time, and the other 70% he'd just say, just try to figure it out. Or it's like,
No. But if you ask other people in the room, they'd be like, either Shay, you weren't paid attention, or Josh already told you what to do. Nobody knows. And it's just like... At a certain point,
I just like the reassurance.
No, it's like, Shay just wants to talk to me.
No, it would be like during a game, Woodsy would need a breather. I'd run in there. Woodsy's on the sideline, like trying to get some water. And I'm like, Woods. Just like, Josh, what do I do?
Calling him on the field and what to do.
In the middle of the field, but it would be about like little stuff that I already kind of knew, but I don't know why. I just didn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very confident in that position yet. And I'm like, dang, Josh got me. Josh used to get so mad. So I used to limit it to like one question a day.
He would. He did get limited because
I got a rule.
I'm like, bro, there's other seniors you could ask. There's other, like, yeah, you could ask the coaches, the GAs. Like, there were so many things he could have done.
You should have took that as a compliment that he was asking you.
No. Sometimes I did, but at a certain point, it just like, Shay, just look over your notes and you're smart. You will figure it out. And when I left, it looks like he started to figure it out.
I had to. And then people start asking me questions. And then there was young light skins below me that were asking me questions. Yeah. And then I had to, you know what I did? I learned. I was like, you know what? You get one question a day. I told him
you
that.
See, it came back full circle.
How Woodsy felt. That's
how it goes. There was dudes that asking me questions at different positions. And I'm like, you know what? What would Woodsy say to me? That's how I looked.
What would Woodsy do? And that's funny, though, because like what same thing I had told Mav. And yeah. I told Shay, it's like when they were like younger and I was older, I'd always tell them like, listen to me, like you're going to understand why I do and why I am the way I am.
Oh, well,
when you're an older player, because it's like a lot of things that you have to deal with. And the same things I told them were told to me by like, I saw Jayon Brown. I saw Kenny Young. I saw even like Miles, and I could see the amount of like, demand on them, not only on the field but off, where it was like I remember like one day in particular it was during the camp, and Jayon we had finished practice, like everybody was tired, and then like I could tell like Jayon was like spent, like he, you know, and I remember he's looked real sad. I'm like, why? He's like, I gotta go do media. And I was like, dang. Gosh. Like I just know, like I'm saying, like certain things are demand. When you have like the media on you and you have the coaches wanting you to come for extra meetings and to teach the young guys how to do certain things, and you know, the younger players always, you know, like Chase and even younger guys in Shay ask you all these questions, like it's a lot of the time you're like, bruh, like I'm tired. Like it's a lot I have to like the demand on me, not only physically but mentally. And so like with the younger guys, I always tell them, like, bruh, like once you get older, you're gonna understand like how hard this is and like how spent you're going to be, and you're going to understand, well, I don't have the patience to deal with all these things. And when I have tough love on you, it's for a reason, because I want you to learn from me, you know, and be better than I was. So it's nice to see like Shay and like Moff and these young guys come to me and be like, bro, like I remember you said it. And like, I understand, like, I feel what you were saying. Like it all makes sense, but it's like, you kind of have to go through it to understand it.
Shay, who are some of those guys? Who are some of those guys that were asking you questions?
Talk about me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a bunch of guys. So, like, honestly, when Irby first got in the room, I was kind of mentoring him a little bit, kind of telling him how to do things. And, honestly, he ended up doing really well and helped him out. Will Nimmo is another guy. He's, like, my little brother. And he was there with you, Josh Woods. Mm-hmm. I think he was there. So, yeah, Will Nimmo is, like, my little brother. And I'd just be talking about just a bunch of things about life and all that. Zach Charbonnet, we play different positions, but we just be talking about life and talking about stuff that the game of football
Zach Charbonnet talking is crazy because he was the most quietest dude ever.
I was like, Shay probably knows him better than anybody.
See, I've known him since he was like 13. I could get him to crack. Like, I know how to get him to start talking. Once he starts going, he actually has a very, very good personality. It is very talkative. But at first, he doesn't like talking at all. He'll just stay all just, he's Mr. Perfect. But then once you like really get talking to him, like, you'll start to see his personality. It's kind of funny. I love bringing it out of him.
should UCLA give you credit, maybe you and Bo, for bringing Charbonnet to UCLA?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think so. Because, out of high school, I was trying to get him to come. But then it was like, dang, Michigan. So that's going to be kind of hard to get him not to go to Michigan because Michigan was humming at the time and we were not doing as well.
We too hot.
And then kind of we had that 2020, that COVID year, things started to change a little bit. And then he had texted me. He was like, yo, like, what's happening at UCLA? Like, how's it going over there? And it's a funny story is I forgot to respond. I literally forgot to respond. I'm not even kidding. I saw it. And then I'm like, oh, bet. And I think I typed something or something, but I never sent it. And then, like, 2 days go by, then he hit me with the eye. Never mind, I guess. And I'm like, yo, stop.
Shay, you light-skinned Zach Charbonnet? That is crazy.
Bro, no, you were.
No, damn. It could all been Shay's fault.
I almost tricked this off. And then I looked at my phone, and then he said, never mind. I'm like, what? And my message never sent. I never got back to him after he said, how's UCLA? And I'm like, oh. Called him immediately. I said, bro, just come down to Westwood right now. I'll literally just show you the whole school. Like, just come down here. This was like, I think, going into the 2021. He came, got him some fat sals, showed him the area, and I'm like, all right. He's like, I like it a little. That's my go-to move.
Beat it.
Think I got him some Diddy Reese, showed him the area, and then I'm like, all right, bro. Like,
see?
All right. I was like, bro, because he had, when he was coming from Michigan, he was playing a lot his freshman year, then another year didn't go how he wanted. So he was like, he needs to go to a place he can trust. And I told him, I'm like, bro, I can't guarantee you a lot, but I can guarantee you one thing, you're going to be playing for the best running back coach in the country, hands down.
Facts.
That was my selling point. I'm like, because you know how people can BS you, kind of like tell you things. I'm like, I have no idea what else can happen because you don't want to persuade someone and it doesn't work out and it kind of looks like it's on you. But I said, you're going to be playing for the best running back coach in the country. And then he put some thought into it. And then right before he was like, it was like a couple of days before he was going to make his decision. I'm like, what are you deciding between? He goes, it's going to be UCLA, Washington, or USC. I'm like, all right. You go to Washington, I respect it. If you go to SC, I'm never talking to you again. So like, I wasn't even playing. Like, usually I'll be joking around. I'm like, do what's best for you. But I'm like, you ain't finna go that. Like, you're not. I just said you're not an SC guy.
And Charbonnet. No.
He kind of isn't.
Bro, that people don't understand. That's the thing, though. Not being an SC guy. And like,
I can see that. I can see that.
The two different cultures.
Right.
That just means Charbonnet chose to be Shay's friend instead of going to SC.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he had it on the line. So
even after you, like, kind of left him hanging.
Wanted to be my friend.
No, Shay's like you're like almost a professional host at a certain point because how many times do you think you've hosted a recruit?
Every recruit I host, he commits. I can go down the line. I've never missed on one. I tell them,
I never missed.
I told all the coaches in recruiting, I'm like, yo, y'all want someone? I'll host them. I'll show them a good time. Let y'all, and I'm not gonna get too much into detail, but if he comes and I give him, if I host him, he's gonna commit.
Because for a few reasons though, because one, Shay could talk to a wall. He can literally Shay could talk to literally anybody, everybody. Shay is friendly, literally. But other than that, they used to ask like me to host, and it's like I was on the on the way out, but it's like I don't think the coaches understood like. The different demographics of when you're older and when you're younger, as far as like, when I was older, I wasn't going at, like to no off campus parties. Like if I was going, I was going to a bar or you know,
he would.
Or like, and it's like I you know, like I'm older now. Like I was 20. I was 21 at the time. Like I'm not going.
You're young though. You're old, but you're young.
Yeah, but I'm saying I was my fifth year. Like, I'm not going to no freshman athlete parties, right?
That's true.
So I used to be like, tell let Shay host him. Like, the only people like I hosted Jason Harrison, I got him, but he was a grad transfer. Like, I could host a grad transfer because we're closer in age, like, you know.
No,
but, like,
no, you're gonna host
high school kid, it's like
I agree. I'm not, no, they, I agree.
It's not gonna work. I'm gonna be a terrible host. And I'd be like, they go, Shay got him.
Shay, who were you responsible for? Who did you host?
Man, I gotta go back down the list. Most recent, Jacob Sykes,
okay,
Harvard grad transfer. They gave me Jacob Sykes, got him to commit within the first 20 minutes I talked to him. then, Trey Edwards, he's a linebacker. Mm-hmm. He just committed here.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. That was harder because I obviously can vibe with him, but he was 17. He's a senior in high school.
It's hard.
And I was 23. Like, I'm 6 years older than you.
You were out of touch.
Like, it was a little out of touch. and then it was funny because they all, like, all the hosts would just give me, like, Gansey was a host, someone else a host. They said, "Oh yeah, just all go with Shay. He gonna figure out something for y'all." And I have a bunch of 17-year-olds. They're all 17-year-olds in my apartment. And I'm like, bro, like, like, what am I supposed to? I can't go anywhere. Like, they're not old enough to do anything. Like, I didn't know what to do, but I kind of just used it as a time to, like, I talked to him, and he was there. Shoot, who else? See, it goes
did you
far.
You host? Did you host Charbonnet?
I didn't host him because there was a time where there was no officials because it was during COVID. But he came to UCLA, and I showed him the school and everything.
Unofficial like host.
Yeah, I was an unofficial. That sounds. So
it was a friend tour. A friend tour.
Yeah, we were all within the NCAA requirements. I made sure I stuck on that. So just in case anyone's listening, yeah, we all did everything correct. Don't worry. I think I made him pay for my fat cells, but other than that, no.
Making him pay is crazy. No.
When I'm a D1 coach, I'm gonna bring Shay in to be my recruiting coordinator.
Bro, I'm telling you, it's lit. You want to coach when you're done playing?
You know this.
I mean, I haven't talked to you about it in a while. I knew you back then.
That's still the after I'm done. That's where I'm headed.
Let's do it. I actually kind of want to start coaching too when I'm done. So we might as well just make a dream team. I just want to ask you questions. I promise. Let me a kid will ask me a question. I say, ask Woodsy.
No, you're gonna be like, let me go ask Coach Woods real quick.
Yeah. Shay, you just had your pro day. How was that experience for you?
It was good. I mean, it was. It rained. It was pretty rainy, pretty hard, and obviously a couple of our numbers were a little bit slower than we had expected. But the most important thing, I think, getting out there and kind of just. All it takes, you got to catch someone's eye. And that's kind of what I'm looking at right now. Just get my foot in the door somewhere. Trying to do, like, Fernea did it last year. We've had guys do it. So just try to get all you need. I think Q Knight sent me a message. It's actually pretty valuable. He said, all you need is one person to like you.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I look at it. Like, and my goal, I just love playing football because I've had a lot of ups and downs. I've been at UCLA. Some years were really, really good. Some years were not so good. And there's been a lot of ups and downs for me personally, a lot of ups and downs mentally. It's been kind of tough. But at the end of the day, I just love playing football, and I'm going to play this game as long as my body will physically take me. I think it's a testament to Woodsy, honestly. Like, Woodsy went through the COVID thing, got his pro day shut down, ended up having to do it the next year, and now Woodsy's still playing professionally. So it's like, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to play somewhere. And I've had talks with Woodsy about it, too, like possibly going out to Canada, just kind of see. But all I'm trying to do right now is just keep playing and kind of handling that. And I think the pro day was a good opportunity to do that. Got in front of some scouts, did a couple of drills I felt good in. So at the end of the day, I just need some team to – I probably just like kind of like Fern. I don't have as much film as some of these other guys, but I still got some stuff out there that is good enough for one team, I feel like, to take a chance and just bring me in and see what happens.
No, those are two good examples, Fernea and then Q Knight for sure. Right. Were you doing a workout with the Chargers? I think I saw like a social media post about that.
Yeah, so that's another thing. So – I talked to a couple people about the local pro day, and like I said, all you got to do is catch one person's attention, and I honestly wasn't expecting it, and my agent reached out to me. I think it was late because most guys got invited earlier. I kind of invited me, I think it was Sunday night, and they're like, yo, coming to the Chargers local day, are you down? I'm like, am I down? Absolutely. So they finalized it, got the email on Monday, I was ready to go. So that's like all it takes is just one team. The workout was solid today. Like I said, I'm kind of in between linebacker and safety. I did work with the safeties today just to show, like, all right, I can still backpedal and play like a safety, but I can play down the box if you need me. talking to Woodsy about is that Sam backer is probably my ideal position. So a little nickel Sam, just somewhere I can get on the field and help out.
Yeah, I think one thing that's, you know, really big for you is that you can play all special teams too, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Kick off, kick return, punt, punt return. Right. I mean, you've done it for so many years. So like that's another thing that, I mean, all it takes is that one thing to get you on the field. And, you know, UCLA has been known, you know, like guys like we always say Slater. That's always been a name.
Slater.
It's been like you can be in the league just doing special teams and like how important that is. So
yeah. No, exactly, bro. That's like that's all. See, if I can play any, it doesn't matter what it is. That'd be perfect. It's anything that keeps you around the team, you get it. And I know like that's the first way you can get on anywhere is the special teams. That's how it started with me at UCLA. How it all goes. If you show you can play on special teams, like I think Alex Johnson at UCLA is a great example. Me and him were in a very similar boat, and we all both started on special teams. And I think one or two guys went down. He got his spot, and now he started the last three games this year. And now he's going to start this year. Had a great first practice from what I heard. So it's stories like that that you just never know.
Great kid.
When you first got to UCLA or considered UCLA, obviously your father played there. Did you feel pressure? Was there pressure like throughout? Was UCLA the only place you ever thought of going?
Dude, yeah, it was kind of interesting. So my story was a little bit different because it went back to my junior year of high school. My sophomore year of high school, I was on varsity playing well. I was getting a lot of good national attention. Getting letters from like several Power Five schools, and I'm like, all right, like I'm gonna be getting a D1 scholarship. I'm not worried about anything. Like I was a little arrogant about it. Then junior year came and I fractured my back, and then every school that was talking to me, they pulled out an offer. Yeah, and so I had lost. No school offered me yet, but they were all like, it was gonna happen. They just needed me to play junior year, and they were gonna offer me. And I couldn't play junior year, and every school pulled out, and I'm like, dang, like just like that. And so going into my senior year, kind of like I was like, dang, like I don't know if I'm even gonna be able to play ball. Like these schools are pulling out, and my back isn't right. I had to see like 8 different doctors, different therapists.
Damn.
And kind of had still no attention. And I just got ghosted. Like I was sick. Every school that even considered me just ghosted me. Went through the whole offseason, no real colleges. Then I finally found a good therapist, got my back right. Everything was feeling a lot better. And then I played my senior year, played good. Like I was like all league, but I wasn't good enough to get a Power Five Division I offer. Right. And so I was getting some small schools, like small, like FCS offers, but I wasn't getting it. But then I always thought, like, dang, I'm good enough to go D1. Like, I'm good enough to play D1, Power Five. I don't want to settle short if I go to these small schools. But then the only options were those schools, and those schools were him at the time. And then it was 2 days before signing day. I always wanted to go to UCLA, but I just didn't think it was a possibility. I just didn't think, because I was like, I didn't have enough. Like, usually when you go to the UC, Woodsy knows, like, 4 or 5-star guys. Especially at the time, I was a freshman. I was in high school. UCLA was rolling. They were putting out dudes left and right. They had They had like you, Jayon, Kendricks, Judge. They just had ballers. And so I'm like, all right, I'm not good enough to get an offer here. Then 2 days before signing day, Coach Mora had called, because Mora and my dad were actually friends. They broadcast partners together. And so he was like, he called. It was like, look, like, we like Shea's film. He's a good player. We just don't have a scholarship for him right now. But I'm confident if he gets in, he can earn one. And then my dad was like, what you think about this? And I'm like, I don't want to walk on. Cause like, I thought I was better than that. I'm like, I'm not going to walk on. Like, I'm not going to do that. And then I prayed about it, kind of went to sleep. And I'm like, wait, what am I thinking? Like, if I think I'm good enough to play at these schools, then bet on myself, walk on, earn a scholarship, get on the field. Like, don't settle and go to a smaller school when you can go to, if you think I'm good enough, it doesn't matter if they don't give you a scholarship now. Mentally, I was like, I'm good enough to get there. So I went there, and yeah, that's kind of how it happened. 2 days before signing day, I ended up committing to UCLA, walked on, ended up earning a scholarship after, I think, my sophomore year, and it kind of all worked out. But at the time, it was kind of stressful because I didn't know. There was a lot of question marks, and I was like, I would always question if I was good enough. And that first fall camp, I think this was your junior year. It was when we had that at the Luskin the whole time. I could not have been more lost. I thought I was.
Hey, that's everybody's first camp.
It's everyone, bro. I'm being cussed out. I can't learn the plays. I forgot how to backpedal. I could not have been more lost. Like, nothing was working. I didn't understand anything. Then finally, the next spring, it all started clicking, and then it ended up going from there. like we said, got on special teams and worked out. But it was that first camp was cool. I didn't have to go to San Bern.
I was saying, at least you didn't have to be lost in San Bern.
Right.
That's a different level of hurt. And you didn't have no 2 days. So imagine two days, San Bernardino, and you lost. That's when my first camp, I was like really thinking, like, do I really love this game? Do I really love football like that?
Do you love it? Or is it just, exactly. So, that's kind of like, I kind of got a little deep into it. But, that was my whole story. Kind of how I ended up at UCLA. And best decision I've ever made. I wouldn't take it back for the world.
Now Mr. Bruin. Now he's one of the greatest Bruins of all time.
Pretty much. Dude. He's in all these commercials and stuff.
Man.
He was a spokesperson for a lot of things.
I loved it, bro. Like, obviously. It's like,
what it's like Chase Griffin. It's Chase Griffin and then it's Chase.
Like, Shay, you're in the realm of, like, Jerry Neuheisel. Like, when it comes to, like, UCLA Bruins in football, like, who represents what it means to be? Like, you're up there.
That's love. That's love, bro. And, like, to me, like, that's all I want to do is make a name, do something. And obviously, I wanted to leave with a Rose Bowl. I wanted to leave with something. And that kind of hurt me because I'm like, my dad went there. They won 2 Rose Bowls and a Fiesta. He walks around with his rings. And I'm like, I went to a Cactus Bowl one time.
And we lost.
I went to a Tiger, Tony the Tiger Frost Lake Bowl and lost.
And lost.
Like you went to 2 Rose Bowls and a Fiesta Bowl.
Hey, we're going to make up for that when we coach. Don't worry about
That's what I'm saying.
I'm capping you.
My number one motivation is to come back to UCLA as a coach and win a freaking Rose Bowl. Like that is like my number one motivation.
Hey, and we coach under Jerry? That would be fire.
Oh, shoot, it's over.
Head coach Jerry.
Get the right dude. It's over.
Shay, real quick, before we kind of wrap up here, one thing we always like to ask is, who are the funniest guys on the roster?
All right. It's a tough
one. Top two or three.
Yeah, he's been there so long, you got to give your top five of all time.
I'm going to give, of all time? Okay. Mm-hmm. Boss is one of them.
Yep. Okay.
Boss.
That's a regular.
Boss is funny as, like, Boss is hilarious. Osa was funny to me. I thought
Sleeper.
Osa's a sleeper. Let's think, dude. Top five. Okay. This guy wasn't funny, but just digging around him. Waraboku.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that the one that went to
Josh Waraboku? Guard out of Oklahoma.
Okay.
That's three.
Martin Andrus.
There it is. That's the one.
He got to be on everybody's list. I tell everybody, I tell James and every person we have on, like, he has to be your top three. If you were at UCLA in the past 5 years, he has to be in your top three.
No, without a doubt. Martin Andrus is funny as can be. He's funny as can be.
And your last one?
I can't throw a new one in there. No one's going to believe this because I didn't think he was funny at all until I first started hanging out with him, like, at all. But then I literally just started hanging out with him, like, this year because we're training together. And Kaz Allen, you're not going to believe it. Kaz Allen is hilarious. His side marks and, like, the way he talks about little things is the funniest stuff of all time, bro. Like, I actually do not know anyone funnier than Kaz. No,
Kaz has... Kaz has a goofy side that people don't know because he's always always trying to be cool. But he goofy. Secretly, he is goofy.
Kaz is goofy as can be. Kaz is hilarious.
Hey, everybody, just wanted to take a quick break to remind you guys that the football season is right around the corner. And when you're headed out to the Rose Bowl, what better shirt to wear than a Believe in UCLA Football Podcast shirt? By doing that, you're going out, you're going to the game, you're supporting your team, and you're supporting your favorite podcast at the same time. Some of the proceeds go back to the podcast and help support the content and the different things that we have planned going forward. So what better way to, again, support your team and your favorite podcast than by picking up the shirts? Now, where can you find these shirts? They're available at the Believe Network store, and we made it very easy for you. Scroll down on this podcast. Check out the description. I got 2 links there for you for 2 different shirts. Make sure you check them out. Find the one that's right for you. And hopefully, I see you wearing them out at the game. I'd love to see you wear them.
I mean, there's a question that we always got to ask. Yeah. One, who is the hardest person that you had to go against Okay. And your time UCLA.
This is easy. It's the easiest question. I think the hardest person I ever had to go against covering wise is Kyle Phillips in the slot. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, good luck with that.
One on one. Kyle Phillips in the slot made me rethink my love for football. I was like, is this? He hit me with some crazy release.
You're good.
And I'm like, bro, what? He just, it was like a double stutter in, out in release for a fade. I'm like, bro, you could have just ran the fade from the beginning. Like, you gotta do all that. Like, he's actually dirty. His routes are just dirty. So, yeah, cover wise, him, tackling wise, Zach, without a doubt.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I feel like for Kyle, like, Kyle was. Like, I feel like he was underrated even while he was at UCLA.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he was super underrated.
Heavily.
Very underrated.
When you're on that island, when you're on the island with space in man, like, it doesn't even matter if you have safety help behind you over top, because there's so much that he can do in that 10 by 10 square of space that you have to guard him. He could be, he could hit you with a stutter and be across the field and you're still kind of in a slow weave back. It's like, that, yeah, him, Felt, and Kaz covering him in space is hard. Like, it's, I think it's made me and Shay better having to go against people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, but, oh, dude, Felt is just like, Felt is like, his growth was crazy because he was always good, but out of nowhere, he just spawned. Like, and I think I helped put him on the map that one. You remember this, Woodsy? They threw him a little. They threw him a dump route one day later. Dude, yeah. You, dude, yeah. He put his head out the frame. You know, it's just bad, bro. So, this is late in camp. Like, late camp. I'm having a pretty good camp. I'm confident about everything. I'm making my plays. And honestly, I was having a really good day. Then, I'm man-to-man on Felt. And he was at running back. He ran a little swing pass, right? And I covered it. And I think, all right, the play's done. Then all of a sudden, his eyes get big. He starts to run like a wheel route. And then I thought the quarterback overthrew him. It was Austin Burns, the quarterback. I thought he overthrew him. So I'm like kind of like slowing it down a little bit. And all of a sudden, I see him accelerate. I'm like, oh, I got to catch him. Ball hits his hand, right? And he's sprinting up the field. I'm sprinting up the field. I was like shook that he caught it. Then all of a sudden, as I'm running, he puts his right foot in the ground. And then cut the other way. And I don't know why. You always got to anticipate the cutback. Like, that's just a football 101.
Near
always
hip. You got to stay near back. Hip.
Stay the near hip. I just thought he was going to try to beat me down the sideline. So when he put his foot in the ground and cut back, I reacted so late. And I tried to come back. And I did the freaking stanky leg. I went one foot back, did the hokey pokey, turned around.
Shay touched the earth.
As I'm turning around, I slip, fall on my ass. Then he takes it up the field and scores a touchdown in front of the offensive sideline.
Oh, everyone's man.
They're jumping, going crazy. And then I'm like, did that really just happen? Like, I was so embarrassed, and everyone's giving me smack for it. Then I get to the locker room. I just go up to Phil, and I'm like, all right, Phil, you can have that, but please no social media. Please no social media. And this is why Felt's a real one. That video disappeared. I had never seen it on social media until
not in the meeting rooms.
Until meeting rooms, yeah, obviously. But then we were watching a pre-hype video for Cincinnati, and they're showing all the best plays for Cam. And that was the last play they showed, was Felt breaking me off. And in my life, I've never gotten broke off that bad, even close. That was the worst I've ever gotten broken off. And that was like, and then. A couple weeks later, Felt got his first start at Cincinnati, ran for like 180 yards and two touchdowns. And I'm like, you know what, Felt? I got you better, bro. I give you confidence. So, yeah, no, that was definitely one of the – that's okay. The hardest.
That's tough, to be honest. That's tough.
And it was more tough that we were all there and we could remind him, especially watching the film, you know, the coach had the clicker just going. Just keep reminding.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Did you guys like look it over?
No, and, yeah. I got smacked.
That was a long day, huh, Shay?
But it was a tough day. It was just so bad because everything.
But Shay could take it.
I could take it. No, I'm
that's
the same.
Shay could take it though.
It's gonna take a lot to really like get me out of it.
That would have been it for me. I wouldn't have come back.
No, I didn't. I literally thought about it. I'm like, damn. And there's no, I've had a good. There's a couple of rough days like that camp. Like there was one day, I just had a horrible day of practice. And then Woodsy goes up to me, he goes, you spending too much time at SAE. I'm like, bro, I ain't nothing to do with it, bro.
Too many Kappa brunches.
Too many Kappa brunches. No, Kappa brunches. If any Kappa girls are listening to this, I enjoy your brunch every Friday afternoon. So
that's crazy.
You invited me back.
All right. The spinoff of that one is who is the greatest player you've shared been on the field at the same time as them? Mm-hmm. Like mine is Miles Jack. Like what he could do on the field is just, but it can also be like my hardest person I went against was McCaffrey. So it can be somebody on another team too.
I think the hardest person I've shared the field with, definitely high school, Michael Pittman, because he was playing safety. He was playing safety with me. And we were two safeties, and he was just a dog, bro. He did everything. He would come off the hash, pick balls off, hit dudes, score, return a kick for a touchdown. Pittman did everything, bro. Like, I think that was the greatest player I've shared the field with at the high school level.
Wait, so your high school team had Zach Charbonnet, Bo Calvert, and Pittman?
It gets better.
And the other Pittman.
And Matt Corral, who was the quarterback at Ole Miss, who was a dog. Yep. And Colby Parkinson is the starting tight end for the Seahawks. My brother was a corner. He was balling. We had a
Did y'all win the CIF championship?
They didn't, bro. And we had Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
And
y'all didn't win the CIF.
No, because we had
y'all some, sorry for that.
We had some people running the operations that didn't like progress.
Hey, coaching is
the most talented team to never win CIF.
Ever. Dude, the talent, like, you have Zach as your running back. Matt Corral is your quarterback.
Zach alone should win you a CIF. Easy.
Michael Pittman? Like, are you kidding me? Like, we just had so many dogs. And then pass rushing Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, dude, we had the problem. And also, Theo and Darnay went to Oaks. Everyone went to Oaks for a little bit. Like,
Darnay went there too?
Darnay was there. I've known Darnay since like eighth grade, bro. Darnay went there freshman year and he should have stayed. Then he went to another school. Like, we had everyone. Oaks is a pit stop.
Calabasas or something.
He went to Newberry, then Calabasas. Yeah. Okay. No,
I'm about to look up that roster. That's crazy.
Bro, and Malik Henry was the quarterback too. Malik Henry, who went to Last Chance U.
Yeah.
And
then
his cool name sounds familiar.
We played Upland my freshman year. I wasn't playing on varsity at the time, but it got ugly.
Oh, you know that. I didn't play junior year.
Okay, that's right.
I was at the game, but he was ready.
He was ready to talk smack.
He was not hand after the game. Little did he know. we read it up. Our team was nasty, bro. We had some crazy dogs.
What the second half of Josh's question? Who opposing team? Who's probably the toughest guy?
Shoot, bro, CeeDee Lamb and Kyler Murray that one year. I gotta say. That guy real. Actually, I was on special teams with Kyler Murray, but Jalen Hurts and CeeDee Lamb was the year I played in, and that got ugly.
Yeah.
That one was Oklahoma, ugly too. That was an ugly day.
That I think was the best. I'll give them both. I'll say CeeDee and Jalen Hurts. I'll give it to them both.
Was that at Oklahoma?
Dude, one was at Oklahoma. One was at UCLA.
One was here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to be a bad day. The first play. But like that first drive, it was.
Yeah.
We ran like a fire. Say it was like, remember the animals package, whatever.
Yeah.
I try to forget. Hey, me too. We send a. It's like a man blitz though, and
no.
I'm man on first play. I'm man on CD. But they had the back to my side, so I'm thinking it's a natural banjo, meaning you're going to switch with the inside backer to take the running back swinging wide, and the receiver would be passed to the inside linebacker. Like, you guys switch man because so you guys don't pick each other off, right?
Yeah.
And immediately I'm like, oh, based on stance, CD's going to come going across the field, and where the running back is, he's going to swing. So it was happening. And then I see, like, so the play starts right. I'm already yelling it, like, inside, like, pass it to Banjo. The running back starts going out. But then I noticed that nobody took CD, and he's wide open. And the running back kind of stopped for a little bit. So I'm like, I'm going to bet. I would rather the running back catch the ball than CD. So I chase after CD. He was wide. Like, he could have been hit, right? I chase him. And then I'm, like, guarding him. And I'm like, okay, the ball didn't come. And he literally chilling. Like, what's happening? I turn. Jalen Hurts is, like, 30 yards down the field sprinting. And I'm like, bro.
No, and
then it was like, nobody wanted to tackle him. We're like, bro, this is about to be the longest game of the year.
No, it was bad. But then we beat Washington State the next week, so it all worked out.
That was, I think, that's when I started covering the team. That was the first week, was when you guys went to Washington.
What a great entrance.
I know, right? That game, I was like, this is going to be great. Yeah, wow. I remember that.
The thing is, people like always can look back and be like, oh, those teams, like, we struggled. They don't understand how good our teams were, though. We just didn't have it together yet. Our team had so much talent. It's actually, like, we had enough talent to beat anybody. We really did, except for obviously, like, Oklahoma's and stuff. But we had enough talent to beat anybody in the Pac-12, with the exception of maybe Utah. Like, those teams were good. And you can see it by looking, everyone's still playing ball. Look what people are now. Like, you only had Otito and Osa as your two interior linemen who are both playing in the NFL right now.
Yep.
Like, no, like, you got to look at, like, Darnay, starting corner in the NFL. Like, Q Lake, safety. And, like, you got to look at the guy. We just didn't have it all together. Draws, like, everyone's playing somewhere. Everyone's still playing. You got to look at that.
Josh is getting upset all over again.
It's just because that's the thing, though. Like, I look at my time at UCLA, and, like, I don't think it was successful, and we didn't go or do as much as we should have done. Because I look at the rosters, like, from my freshman year, the talent that we had, and had there not been injuries on my freshman team, we would have won the Pac-12 championship.
Oh, it would have been over.
And then my second year, again, another loaded roster. Josh Rosen gets hurt. We have a bad year. But looking like that defense.
Oh, like, unreal.
I was coming off the bench at one point, and, like,
right,
there was so many guys. And, like, you had guys like Chris Barnes only on special teams. Like,
right.
That's how deep we were. And then Shea's freshman year, again, you had JTM who was in the league. Matt Dickerson, who's in the league. You had Tag was gone. I mean, had me, Kenny Young, Chris Barnes.
JP,
you had Jaleel Wadud. Yeah, we had JP that year. Phillips. We had Darnay. We had Nate Metters,
who
spent time in the league at XFL. We had Pick, who has spent time in NFL and CFL. Like, literally that whole starting defense has played professionally. And the offense, too. All the weapons, the receivers, Josh Rosen, that offensive line, how many guys ended up, you know, from that. And I think, like, that team went 6-7. Like,
unreal.
There's no reason why that team should have went 6-7.
And even the year before, the year before when Rosen got hurt, like, UCLA just had a string of unluck, like a bad luck.
It just, like, so much talent, like, came through, and we just never did what we should have did.
So, but, Shea, your first year was Chip's first year, or were you?
No, so my first year was 2017. Is Moore's last year.
Okay, and so then, you were a Moore guy too then. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Moore brought him in, and then he got Moore fired.
That's not what happened. but it was just funny that, like, when I was talking to Coach Kelly the other day and seeing him in the weight room, I was just thinking to myself, you know, this is your first spring ball you've ever had at UCLA without me. Like, are you sad? I didn't tell him.
Not Dorian, not anybody, not just Shea.
No Shea Pitts.
Right, I was there before Dorian, man. I've been there a long time.
That's true, yeah.
People make so many jokes. It's funny because I was the one making the old jokes to guys like Woodsy, and then people started making them to me, and it was wild. And the people making them to me, they're the old guys.
Exactly, so. And it's a never-ending cycle. It's guys like you where you got to keep it going, you know?
You're the bridge. Right. You're the bridge.
See, like, I crawled. Mm-hmm. I'd say Shea got to run a little bit. They got to run.
Yeah.
This next wave, they better fly.
They better fly because, like, our teams are, like, that's what happened, bro. Like, it was all, like, even though we didn't win a lot of games those years, we wouldn't have been able to have the success that we've had if it wasn't for those years and how that happened. Those built and led to the success we've had. And it's still not nearly enough. Like, there's no, when we started 6-0, we should not have finished 9-4. Like, we are too mm-hmm. good for that.
Yeah.
So
that this past season was the most fun that I had just covering yeah. the team. So I was like, this is great. Yeah, I was like, you guys are getting ranked. It was like you guys are in the national like championship kind of conversation there early on. I was like, oh,
it's
snap.
All good.
It's going to be crazy. What do you think happened in, down that final stretch? I think obviously you guys just played better teams too. Like you guys were like, I think it was what, Oregon, you guys beat Utah.
Yeah, but so here, at the end of the day, I think you just got to win the games you need to win.
Yeah, and we were that's what I always say.
Yeah, like, okay, so we start off 6-0. Oregon was going to be a tough one. Yes, I think we can beat them any given day, but mm-hmm. that was just going to be a tough game. It's at Autzen. It was going to be a tough game to win. And we played some things we should have been different, and this, we didn't win. That's whatever. Okay. But
then and that was like that was like your first like true road game. Like you guys have played Colorado, but that was like the first road.
No,
game.
That was the
Colorado.
First
Colorado didn't count.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what
that was a that was a practice at another school.
Yeah,
stupid. No, but the game, like I know everyone will love to talk about it, and you don't have to be a genius to say this, but you got to win the game you're supposed to win, and Arizona was that game.
Yep. Yeah.
We win that game. Like I said, okay, obviously, I think
that changed. That would have changed everything
because I think we're better than SC. I think we should have beat SC, but okay, it's a rivalry game. You obviously want to win that more than anything, but we came up short. Got it. If we beat Arizona, I hate being the if guy because I just not who I am when I'm just speaking mm-hmm. hypothetically. Then we still go to the Pac-12 championship with a chance to play them again, and so to play SC again,
mm-hmm.
and. We'll see what I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, no, we'll see what happens. But that you want to put yourself in that situation. So win the games you're supposed to win. I hope they learn from that. The team learns from that, and it does it this year. I think they got a great coaching staff. Every coach on that staff is outstanding. I think Coach Kelly's doing a great job. Happy that he's extended to see what he's gonna do. Coach Norton's a great coach. Coach Foster's a great coach. Jerry, they have a great staff. So now that is the players got to understand win the games you're supposed to win. If they understand that, then we're not asking you don't got to go into Oregon and like obviously you want to go undefeated,
right?
You don't have to win the games to go to the Pac-12 championship because the Pac-12 does it every year. It self eliminates itself.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there's always that one game. It's like in Arizona, an Arizona State, like a Washington State. Like it's like
every time.
It's like damn, y'all. what was it like when Ken Norton Jr. comes into the building for the first time?
That was great. Yeah, his expertise is just – he knows so much about the game. I learned so much playing from him. And it's just little things because he's been around. It's not just playing and winning all the Super Bowls. He's coaching big Super Bowls. His knowledge mm-hmm. was outstanding. And he was actually on the team with my dad.
I was about to ask that, yeah.
Yeah, so he was like – it was funny because my dad was like the senior when he was a freshman. So he looked up to my dad.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The big bros. Yeah, like so they were like the big bros in the team. And then – yeah, and then – now and he ended up being my coach. It was just really good. That was one of the big things that I liked about learning about the game in UCLA is that learning from Coach Norton. That was a big reason because I was thinking about transferring a little bit. I just maybe was thought there was other schools that were a better opportunity. Yeah, I say that now.
Mr. UCLA not being at UCLA.
I didn't be completely honest. I wanted to be a full time starter. I thought there'd be better opportunities to do that at some smaller school and go down.
I had that moment too.
You feel me?
Yeah, so Josh had that moment. What?
Yeah. So I think every player at every school has had a thought about transferring. If they don't say that, they're lying. Every player has had a thought about transferring.
Just imagine yourself in different colors, different mascot.
I think it's that's more of a thing now though than early on. Yeah. It used to be shamed upon, but when the portal came, it was like free agency.
Without a doubt. And so I thought about it. I'm like, I think there's better schools that are best for me. And then I thought about it, like prayed about it, then talked to Coach Kelly, everything, and I was like, you know what? UCLA probably I think is the best opportunity for me. And then Ken Norton came in and then that
put the like, oop.
I'm like, yeah. I can go to a random school in a random city, or I can stay in Westwood and learn from one of the greatest coaches of all time. So it was pretty easy.
So you have a conversation with Chip Kelly about, like, you'd say, like, hey, I'm kind of considering.
Well, everyone has their exit meetings, and I was just talking to Coach Kelly. I'm like just trying to evaluate like what's the best, kind of going back and forth about whatever best for me. And Coach Kelly's really cool about everything because he's just very honest about things. He keeps things completely how they are. And he said, if you want to go somewhere, I'll help you. If you want to stay, I want you to stay. And then it works out. So I had that conversation and it was a very good conversation. And then I was like, you know what? This is my home. I love this school. I love this team. And I want to come back and win a Rose Bowl. So that's kind of how the combo went. And Coach Norton came in and that put the icing on the cake and it was cool. And then I'm after looking back, obviously you're always going to think about how things could have went different, but overall, I'm glad I made that decision just because I love the school too much to see myself. And honestly, I stayed there for, it was 5 years at the time. I'm like, dude, you might as well just cap it off. Like,
yeah.
You can't go five you had it. Yeah. You're like, once he had 5 years, let me do six. Let me beat him in that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Bruin Nation forever.
So those meetings, like, those are like that actually happened because like at the end of the year, some of the reporters will always ask like, oh, are you coming back or whatever? And some of the guys will be like, oh, you know, obviously you'll talk to your family and stuff. They're like, I'll talk to Chip or I'll talk to the coaches. And I'm like, does that really happen? Like, I didn't know that really happened. I thought they were just saying that to like kind of, you know, like they don't know yet.
There's some dudes that they'll transfer. Like we see some dudes transfer, Josh, that don't talk to anybody, and then one day I'm just gonna bring up a story, bro. Devon, my boy Devon Boston, one time he's in the locker room, we're going up for practice, and then he's like, I'm not practicing today. And then I think Coach Michael, like foam roll is mandatory. They're like, you have to foam roll. He goes like, I'm not foam rolling. He goes, well, you'll get box time. She's like, I'm not playing for this university anymore. And then that's how he left. So don't get me wrong, there's a bunch of dudes. He didn't talk to anybody. He just dipped out and said that he maybe had some conversations later. But there's a lot of dudes that don't have those conversations. And I'm just like, I'm out of here. I'm gone. But if people are thinking about transferring, I think everyone should have a conversation with their head coach, no matter what school you want. But there's some dudes that are just mad and they're just out of there. But, yeah, I think everyone should have a conversation with their coach about things and how things go. And like I said, like Coach Kelly's great about things. Like he's very understanding. He's a player's guy. He understands the player's mindsets. And if you don't want to be there, then he'll help you find a place. And if you want to be there, then he'll give you a reason to stay. So he's really cool and honest about things. So like a lot of coaches, I don't know how it works with every coach, but I know Coach really cool with that stuff. So,
and one thing I did find interesting when kind of reading a little bit about you, reading your bio, was that you were the head of the Special Olympics Club at Oaks Christian. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so there was a senior in front of me that was doing it, and I went to the thing the year before, and it was really cool, and I developed a lot of special relationship with some of those kids, and he asked, you want to be the president next year? And I'm like, I don't know if I'll be responsible. Like, I need to be responsible, be able to be on time, be able to do all this stuff, because you had to plan a whole event. Then he kind of guided me, and then I just decided to do it, and it was really cool. I still talk to some of them now. It's just able to form that relationship with those people, and it's honestly it's a great thing, and it was really cool getting to work around. And you played a bunch of sports, played basketball, there was a swimming event, volleyball, there was a little bit of everything. So that was one of my it was a one big event every year, and I enjoyed that a lot, and I was glad to be able to take over for that for a year.
Very cool, good on you. I probably would have reached out to you sooner about something like that, because that's a pretty cool thing that you don't hear a lot about, kind of with some of the guys and stuff like that. So good on you for that.
I'd probably say the last thing, what is your favorite outside linebacker room story or memory?
Gosh, dude.
I have one on top of my head.
There's so many. I just know, as a whole, just like before games, like those Friday nights at the hotels, other teams' hotels, we just all just started talking about the craziest stuff and just had each other dying. But I remember Washington State in particular, it was funny. But okay, one specific story that I have that's hilarious was when Jason Harris, that one day in practice, was playing, like, it was like late in camp or it was late in practice. He was taking on a tackle with some guy on a scout team, and he starts doing patty cake with him in the middle of the freaking drill.
That was Michael Church.
Yeah, he starts doing patty cake with each other. I'm like, bro, y'all are not serious. Like, this is why we're losing No, nah, that shit was funny though. But
I think, as I say, I thought you were gonna say the remember when Hayden Harris broke his finger? No, like that sounds bad, right? Hayden Harris breaking his finger, that sounds bad. But like
you gotta tell us that.
No, wait, I forgot. It was like a.
I remember. So he was going through a drill, and then he hit his hand on the drill, and his finger was like broke, like put to the side. Like, and then his finger was to the side, and then coach was like, "Hey, finish the drill." He goes, "Coach, my finger." And then he coach was like, "All right, stop." And then that day in the film room, I'm like, I started clowning him. I'm like, oh, coach, I broke my finger. my finger, it's broken.
And then but didn't you? No, nah, we like watching the film. It like came, like the way
it like Shay came out.
I don't know if you rapped it or you said it. Somebody has the video. I think Jason might have the video. But mind you, like our room, because it was Misfits, like Coach Kafushi was so chill. Like he really let us like clown. Like other rooms, like I go into Pelham's room, I'm not saying a word. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's quiet. You like sit it like you know, like you like yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like you on an interview like that. You go into Kafushi room, we just be in there like really like clowning, like yeah, like talking to like yelling at each other, like and when Shay did that, like usually Kafushi, like when we get on each other, like he would let us get on each other, which would usually be.
He would let us clown.
It would usually be me or Keyshawn getting on Shay or Jace, and Jason backing us up, right?
Oh yeah.
And usually, like Kafushi, like don't mind it. Like he like he's smirking, but like that day, like Shay broke Kafushi, and Kafushi was laughing in tears. Like we probably laughed. Like people, like other people are coming to check our room because we laughed probably for like 20-30 minutes straight.
No, we were dying.
Like dudes were in tears, but it's like
Kafushi, man. My finger. My finger, coach. You can't finish my drill.
How did he just, it was just like a standard drill, like he didn't
it
do
it.
Crazy.
It was like on a sled or something. Like he probably just
dude, he hit his
hand
finger.
Placement, finger stuff.
His stuff was sideways, bro. He's like, man. I can't keep going.
And that's how the freshman that year, that's how like they all were like supposed to fit the mold of what the positions like. So like they're all long, lanky, but like
they didn't know how to
like control their bodies. So like a lot of stuff was like see, a lot of the indies were like the freshmen redoing the drills.
Oh like, god. I think we relied on them messing up to get extra break.
Oh, for sure. Cause I used to be like something would happen. And then I'd be like, nah, do it again. I'd be like,
do it again.
If you're not doing it right, oh yeah, yeah. Cause I'm as a senior and a lookout for my guys, I'm gonna be like, nah, the people that are not about to take all these reps in practice, y'all go do this. And if like I used to get on the freshman because I was like, if y'all do bad, it makes it look bad. And I used to get them because if they do bad on scout. I was the one that see things like that. Like I was the one that had to hear about it, and I had to get them and be like, "Bro, like you can't be given half effort. Like you making all of us look bad." And there's times like I had to discipline young guys for stuff like that. And Shay, I hope you had to do that too, because stuff like that.
No, I did. I for sure did. I for sure did. Maybe not as mean, but I did it. I'm too. Nice.
I was not mean. You always try to say it. We didn't. Nobody bullied you.
Josh is a bully.
It was just tough love.
Yeah. I would always get there's a video of a TikTok of some guy being like, why do they bully? Like he get bullied. It was like an old Vine. I went to Woody and I was like, why does he bully? What's the point of it? Nah, Josh was the bully. I know saying that in 2023 you can get in a lot of trouble, but no, Josh was not.
That's hilarious.
No one get mad at Josh. I don't want Josh to get canceled. He's not a
bully. As I said earlier, and now, like I said, Shay has grown up and matured, and you know, and like me, like I always will love Shay, and that's like you know my brother for real, and I'm proud of your journey and your process, your development to seeing you. Really, a lot of times, like I said, like you're running the show, you're the face of a lot of UCLA football things, and then like seeing your growth to that point, like. You really that's were cool. Like Mr. UCLA, Mr. Bruin. Like if I ever seen any community service or any any type of promos, like a lot of the things that I know it's going to be weird because I guarantee they're going to miss you too, because a lot of things, like, mm-hmm. you're a reliable guy. And so I just want to say, bro, I'm proud of you. I love you, bro. And, of course, like, thanks for, you know, coming on the pod.
Man, I love you too, bro. I appreciate all that. Nah, that's some real stuff. I came in, like, bottom of the totem, and you really helped me grow and get to where I'm at. So I appreciate that for real. And I guarantee you we're going to be doing a lot of stuff together down the line. Playing, oh, sure. Hopefully, coaching, TV, all that. I love it.
I want to know how you ended up on these commercials.
Bro, honestly, like, I think I got an email about it one time. And they said, do you want to do it? I don't know who picked it. Maybe it was Coach Kelly. To this day, I don't know who picked me to do it. But they said,
do you be doing that.
Yeah. And then they said, you had to film it. I had to drive down to Pasadena in the middle of summer, did it. Ooh. And then I had to film another episode in the middle of fall camp. So it was tough, but it's annoying because y'all know how TV works. You film for 5 hours and they use not the whole commercial, 30 seconds.
It's like 30 seconds.
And I'm in 1/8 of the commercial. Yeah. So I filmed 5.5 hours of work for that's maybe crazy. 8 seconds. But you know what? It's cool because every time it's on, it just...
You're the face of UCLA. Mr. UCLA. That's what I'm saying. They picked you because you are reliable and you represent what it means to be a Bruin. Through and
that's
through.
Love. That's
six,
love,
six
bro.
Years.
6 years.
Of Shea Pitts.
Six.
What will they do? Four. What will they do without Shea Pitts, man?
Man, I don't know. I don't know how, but they'll find out, and I'm very excited to see how it goes.
Final question for me. I guess I'm just kind of curious, like, since you've still kind of been around a little bit and stuff, and like during your pro day process and all that, did you get a chance to like talk to Dante Moore? Do you have like any kind of early impression of him?
Yeah, I talked to Dante a little bit. I talked to him on his official. He's a good kid now. He's very, very good kid. I talked to him on his official, and then talked to him. I've been in the locker room a little bit, and I was in the locker room the other day, and he's like, "Shay," I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Your flashlight's on." I'm like, "Oh." So that's the few encounters I had with him. So that shows he's very observant and very commanding, I guess, and very seized because my flashlight was on in my pocket. So Dante, I appreciate you for that. But nah, I talked to him on his official a little bit, talked to him a little bit in the locker room. He's a good kid. I'm hearing good things about him, but I'm excited to see this quarterback battle. Like I was talking to Dorian about it today. I'm like, who do you think is going to be the quarterback? He goes, I have no idea. Like, it could be any three of them. So I couldn't even tell. I have no idea who it's going to be. And I think they all can play. Mm-hmm. I know Garbs is a baller. He's a dog. Flea, I've seen a little bit. I've heard really good things about him. And obviously we know about Dante. So I think all of them can play. And I'm excited to see how it turns out.
Like, I'm super excited. I'd be showing up to camp now, like, because I have something new to write about. It's not the same old faces. Like, it was cool. Like, I knew what we were getting when Charbonnet's there, when DTR's there and stuff like that. But it's like, there's so much unknown. There's like stuff to write about new every day. And it's just, it's like great. Cause it's like even the running back, like they got Carson Steele, but you don't know what he's really going to be. And a bunch of other dudes. So it's just different. There's a lot of new faces. I think the only one I recognize is like Chase Griffin and Garbage, really. Like, outside of that, like a lot of these dudes are new.
It's all totally new team.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Yeah. All right. I think that's it for me.
I mean, I could talk to Shay for hours. Because I know that Shay's always going to say, like, he's never going to, you know, shut off. Like, he can go all day. So,
yeah.
We'll have Shay on again. We'll get you on like during the season or something.
Oh, definitely.
I want to offer my insight about what's going on during the season because I'm genuinely curious to see how everything's gonna go. So
that works for me. Well, let us know whenever you're free. Yeah. And we'll have you back.
I was like, during the season, we 2 episodes a week. So
let's run that.
We need to fill
times.
Some,
few times.
I'll give you. I will entertain.
Bet that works for me. All right, man. I think that'll do it. Much like Josh said earlier, just thanks for being on. We appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all always some real ones. James, you've been a real one since as long as you've been there. Josh, you know how I feel about everything. It's all love. Appreciate y'all.
And there you have it. A great conversation with Shea Pitts, someone who's been around, as we mentioned there during the conversation, at least for me, has been there just as long as I had been covering the team. Is very familiar with Josh, obviously. And yeah, Shea is kind of been one of the faces for UCLA football, especially when it comes to off the field stuff. Like I mentioned, he's kind of on these commercials I would see on the Pac-12 network when I'm watching any sort of Pac-12 game or usually a UCLA related game on the Pac-12 network. They would kind of play the UCLA commercial and Shea Pitts, there he is right there. So yeah, Shea Pitts is definitely that guy doing a lot. We didn't even get to some of his academic stuff, but does a lot of stuff academically as well that is super cool. And I think he has a bright future ahead of him. So looking forward to his journey and wherever his career takes him on the field. Yeah, just a good dude. And as always, thank you guys again for listening. This is the Believe in UCLA Football podcast presented by Bet Online. Another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football podcast presented by Bet Online.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.